Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This.
Who are you having a go at here?
Is the Midweek Run.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
In what seems like the earliest start we've seen before, footy is back for season 2024. While the NRL saw the big lights of Vegas in the United States, the AFL will be hitting up Homebush and the Gabba in the northern states. This season, Dimmers at the Suns, Grundy's at the Swans, and the Pies are still to be feared. While between our group, Joey's got another kid, Daisy's got married, and Damo has a beard. Let's get stuck into it for another season of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with two-time All-Australian Lee Montagna.
Hello, Rabsy. Very good. That's the benchmark. It's got to be that good all year because I look forward to that now. I forgot about that. It's nice to be back. Good to see my mates again. It's been a long summer and I can't wait for the footy to start.
Well, speaking of your mates, one of them is the Collingwood Premiership superstar, Dale Thomas.
Yeah, it's good to be back and exciting that the first month of footy, everyone's happy. It's good. Everyone's fresh. It's all new again. It's great to see people. And then after a month, everyone cracks their shits and they're over each other. So we'll enjoy this first month.
And the biggest name in AFL media who has trimmed, he's tanned and he is absolutely terrific. AFL media superstar Damien Barrett.
Being accused of colouring my skin these days, which I've never done. It's just I had a lot of walks over the off season and because I can't run anymore. My knees are short. So I just spent a little bit more time out in the air, outdoors and natural colour, Joey.
And you still happy, Daisy?
I am
off
happy.
The top.
Yeah,
you're in
point.
No fights
it's
yet.
A good
you're in a good
point.
Mood.
I've had a few dealings with footy clubs yet, and no friction.
Right.
There's one I don't bother dealing with, but that's normal. But the other 18, the other 17, all good.
So, as a journalist, why are your knees shot?
Good question.
Yeah. I understand if Joey's complaining about injuries. If you had a bit of RSI or, you know.
Maybe it's sitting under the computer. It's a good point, actually. Yeah.
All those rubbish bins that he was crouching in for all those years.
Joey, that wasn't me. That was once or twice.
How has the off-season been? Well, we know Daisy's got married. And Joey, congratulations.
Yeah, well done, Joey. Thank you, baby number three, little Scarlett. She's going awesome. So she's great. My oldest boy started primary school, so he's good. The middle child, middle child syndrome, that is well and truly real. She's making it difficult, but no, I've been pretty low-key, Dame. I was in the trenches over summer. Did a bit of the NBL, which has been great. The playoffs kick off this week, so that's been a bit of fun. But, yeah, otherwise pretty low-key for me. Not as eventful as Daisy's
Well, you would have been at the wedding. I didn't get a gig
the wedding of the year.
I didn't get an invite to the wedding of the year.
No. I saw everyone else was in town and everyone else came in, but I couldn't get an invite. You didn't either?
No.
Rabsy?
No, I was there.
Oh, what?
I got an invite.
Pecking order.
And I was Eddie, it was Mick, and then there was Bill and I. Yeah.
Just keeping it real. I couldn't have it. I would have loved for you all to have come, but you know how it goes.
We didn't arrive via helicopter like someone else did, though.
And Eddie? I was also smart enough to
Eddie?
Invite
Who came in helicopter?
Former president of a football club that Daisy may have been involved in.
Yeah.
Who got out when the doors opened? Because the last time I heard of a Triple M person doing a helicopter, it was Luke Darcy from the City to Witten Oval. So,
in Eddie's defence, he called me. He said, "Right, I've got to go to the Super Bowl the next morning. I can't be asked driving 3 hours," which is fair enough. It was a long way away, and he said, "The only possible way to get there is chopper in, chopper out." I've spoken to the location. They said they're happy. I said, "You know, Eddie, is there anything more on brand?" And he said, "No, there's not." So away we went.
So Carla got a gig as well.
Carla was there.
So the two of them walked out of the helicopter.
They did.
How good.
Yeah. And then
got back into it.
And then off they went just before the sunset, which was
halfway through the bridesmaid speeches.
We don't need to go into details, but I tell you what, it's not the first time we've seen names left off. Unfortunately, you guys couldn't come along and I couldn't keep you. But there was a little press release today, Damo.
Oh, it's a good, nice segue.
Thanks. Yeah. I've been working on this, Damo.
We just walked in today, and we like the time code when we're doing this. It's just before 11 on this particular Wednesday. Triple M's just released a media announcement to the entire world that the footy's back and there's some new additions. So the headline, Triple M bolsters AFL commentary team with massive 2024 lineup, including Isaac Smith, Aaron Phillips, James Brayshaw and Brian Taylor. So that's a great announcement.
Big.
Get to the nub of the press release, and then it gets to Phillips and Smith join a premier lineup of footy legends and commentators, including James Brayshaw, Brian Taylor, Jason Dunstall, Dale Thomas, Abby Holmes, Mark Ricciuto, Andrew Embley, Kate McCarthy, Bernie Vince, and many more. So, Joey, you and I are among the many more.
No, that's fair enough. I know where I sit in the pecking order. There were some of the names in there.
Dave's got to mention one too.
Well, fair enough. But
15. He's the big dog. He's the big dog in town now.
Jeez.
Gee whiz.
You're in the...
I know where I sit. That's all right.
Is it because you also look a bit different too? You've got running with the beard.
But not the beard of yours, but I've got
TJ. You've got a chompers.
Oh, I haven't gone that far.
Have a look at Joey.
Smoothed out and whitened.
Well, if you're going to put a brand new tooth in, you've got to make them match
The rest of it, unfortunately.
You gotta, yeah, give him a little polish.
Yeah, so a dusting. Is that a the dusting? Famous yes, the Spud reference?
It's a good job. Yeah, it's not obviously whitened, so well done.
It's the biggest, I guess, what would you say, pressure I've felt since stepping out of football was getting the teeth done because, as you know, it can go tits up pretty quickly.
On this station, yeah, it can, yeah.
And if it's, and I was sitting there and I didn't realise at the time and I thought maybe I've gone a shade too dark. I thought they could have been whiter for what you pay for them. And then I got a tan. I was like, Christ, now they look too white. What's going on? So it was as nervous as I've been, but thankfully my good mate there, Val, at BC Dental down there, I did pay for him.
So, well, you know one thing he has done. He's been honest. A lot of people at Triple M would lie when they've had some work done.
Spud tried to lie.
A lot of people deny it, right? So at least he was honest straight up.
Like Rui, he's got the PK right across the front grill.
Well, Nate Brown's still denying he might have had a little bit of work done.
Yeah. I got a bit of Botox for the wedding.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. See, that's good. Get it out there. Admit to it.
It's a young man's game.
Yeah. Nathan Brown admitted to someone else who used to work with us that he had taken some Botox and then just denied it to everyone.
Nathan Brown was bald at 25. He's now got hair and no wrinkles. Like, he's not tricking too many.
The Midweek Rub is back for 2024. Fair dinkum or Fugazi, your tips for the first four games in opening round. But up next, it's Damo's News. We'll be chatting Jimmy Webster, Clayton Oliver and Dimmer versus the Tigers.
This is the Midweek Rub.
We like it when someone gives you a clip.
Stay in your lane, Damo.
Triple M rocks footy.
That's it. Back for season 2024. It's Triple M footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo. Fair dinkum or Fugazi still to come. But Damo, it's time for your news segment. We should start with Jimmy Webster.
It's the serious issue going into 2024, the whole concussion of players. There's 100 players from the past who are involved in a class action, as we've known for some time, and that's going to play out this year. We've seen Angus Brayshaw only 2 weeks ago officially retire for medical reasons from the game. 28-year-old, just turned, a person who's come third in a Brownlow medal and someone who was just so loved by his footy club and had 5 years of his most recent deal still remaining to come. So that's the backdrop to what we've seen in the past 2 weeks. Sam Powell-Pepper the previous week on Mark Keane, Jimmy Webster on Jai Simkin on the most recent match just gone. Last night, that being Tuesday of this week, the AFL Tribunal came down with a 7-match sanction on him. It's heavy. I don't have an issue with it, but it's in stark contrast to how this situation, the Match Review Office and the Tribunal system was dealing with matters of this nature only 12 months ago.
Well, my first thought is I think everyone's on the same page with this. I think it's been really well handled by everyone, including Jimmy Webster and the St Kilda Footy Club, the AFL and the wider football community. So it's unfortunate for, of course, Jai Simkin, and we hope he's okay, and Jimmy Webster is going to cop his whack.
Simkin will miss round one just to sign off on that side of it because of the concussion element. He had 2 concussions last year.
But otherwise, I think it's been the expectations are now set. I think everyone understands what you can and can't do, and I think hopefully this is just another lesson, another step in the right direction.
Wouldn't have been surprised if it went higher, to be honest. 6 to 8 seemed fair, but if it went to 10, you could go, well, probably fair enough, because outside, and I was thinking about it, Barry Hall, Brent Staker, in terms of brain fades.
7 weeks on that one.
Andrew Gaff, Andrew Brayshaw.
8 weeks on that one.
And then this incident. They're probably the big three over the last couple of years, this being a preseason game, but that vision is shocking.
But this wasn't any worse. Look, I know there's no two incidents that are exactly the same days, but this wasn't a lot worse than what Jordan DeGoe did last year to Elijah Hewitt. It's in the same conversation.
Again,
and he got 3 weeks.
Braden Maynard gets off.
Braden Maynard gets off.
So, this is now the current day of where we stand. I'm just talking in terms of the brain fade. The big incidents that you can go back and draw on. You're right. The precedence has been set. And if you go near the head at all or you find anyone in the head, you're in big trouble.
In a weird way, these Sam Powell-Pepper and Jimmy Webster moments coming in the off-season, it's if there's some good to come out of it, it's that we're about to start the real stuff and we've now got examples that have been flushed through the new system where there is no adherence to what's happened in the past. There's an official reference now. Forget what you think is precedence on it. This is a new start. So I think that is a form of positive to take out of it now that we've got that through.
Yeah, I agree. It'll just be interesting if something similar happens mid-year and then they get a 4-week suspension and then everyone starts to can talk about why again and all those. But I think that everyone's got a really good handle on where it's at and everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. AFL Commission meeting today in Sydney as part of the build-up to the opening round match tomorrow night in that city. I raise that because there's so many issues to wade through. Concussion will be one of those. I'd imagine they will have a line of sight through the footy department on what Alistair Clarkson said to Jimmy Webster and other Saints players on that. For those who haven't caught up with it, the stopping play came about 90 seconds after the moment, quarter time break, and Alistair Clarkson approached Jimmy Webster with a word and other words. One I'm not going to repeat on Triple M today. People can find it online. It's a word he shouldn't have used. It is a homophobic word, and I hope they come down really, really hard. I get the sentiment, Days, of the coach flying the flag in that moment on behalf of not just his captain, but his entire playing cohort, which has been through the ringer in recent years. But he's got a track record that is now very, very long, and I think at 54 years of age and having been in the AFL system and VFL system for the best part of 35 years, he should have known better on this occasion.
Yeah, I think as we do in a lot of it, you take the head off the person that it is and you go back to the actual rules. Race, religion, sexual orientation are two things that you don't go down or paths you don't go down, and if you do, well, the ramifications come, and I think that'll happen in this instant as well.
And it's inflammatory. Like it was dangerous the way that he did it so close to the playing. I mean, that could have got, you know, if someone wanted to take it out of hand, it could have started, you know.
You covered
anything.
The game, Joey. Did you notice?
Didn't notice.
And if he had have done it in a manner that was defending the players without going down that route, you couldn't have been happier. Good on you, you know, for sticking up for your players. One, your captain's just gone down. That's it. But just the choice of words, unfortunately, is where it's now become an issue.
We'll preview some of the games coming up in opening round in a few moments' time, but there's a couple of massive headline acts out of it, aren't there? I think the Gorn and Grundy matchup on the first game of the season. And then equally compelling is the Damien Hardwick taking over Gold Coast Suns for the first time against the club at which he coached three premierships. There's so many intriguing matchups out of the entire round, but those ones are the really heightened headliners, aren't they?
There's expectation on the Gold Coast Suns for the first time, I'd say ever, coming into this season now. Well, do you disagree? Have you had them?
I don't have them close to my top
really?
Eight. Nah.
Not even close.
Not really.
I don't either, but you're the expert on this.
Yeah, but I mean, we know how hard it is and trying to work it, but I don't really think that they I don't expect 15. Them to play finals this year.
They expect themselves to play finals.
Yeah, I know, and he's put that on the record. So
there's the expectation.
Yeah.
The internal pressure will come, and if it doesn't start to happen, well, the external.
Have you got him in?
To be completely honest with you, I haven't done an eight.
Who's the pressure on?
I could see them finishing in the eight. I think this is a...
So you're talking 13 wins.
Outside of West Coast.
12, 13 wins.
Finished 15 last year. I can see them winning three or four more games and being in that bracket.
So who's the pressure on? Is it on Damien Hardwick to prove himself now as a coach?
Absolutely.
So you've got a talent. So you're thinking it's a really talented list, and Damien Hardwick, if he's a great coach, as we all believe that he is, he should be getting this team to finals?
I think that's absolutely right. If you come out and publicly say it, but also... You've seen the list. They're in a pretty good bracket in terms of who they've got up forward, who they've got down back, some serious talent through the midfield. If it's not now, when?
Well, that's my issue. I think the names are talented, but you can't tell me any of those players have reached their full potential, maybe other than Tuke Miller. I think that the rest of them have still got so much upside, all of them. Ballard, Powell, the forwards, the midfield.
Great coaches, though, can massage that out. Look at Ross Lyon last year with the names that he probably didn't have and the ability that he got them to play to.
Yep.
There's the example.
Yep. And then injuries are going to shape seasons as they do every single year. And there's some worrying signs already before this year starts from a Fremantle perspective. It was only late last night that the club released the findings on Sean Darcy's latest problem, that being a knee issue. It's worded in a way that worries me, so you can have a look at that online, but there's some concerns there. We'll miss this weekend and indefinitely at this stage. And equally, Days Carlton has got some serious problems going into its first game on Friday night against Brisbane Lions. We know that Walsh is out, and he's going to miss another week at least as well. Wiedering unknown with a calf, and the Walsh problem being the back problem that kept him out of the start of last year.
Yeah, I think the Walsh one you can cover for pretty easy with the names that they've got in there. Obviously, he's a huge talent. When he plays, they shape up differently, but Wiedering's the one. When you got Lewis Young as your number one banana against most sides now that have the two big guys, especially coming up against Brisbane with your Hipwood and your Danaher, and we saw what was, you know, Melbourne were able to do against them in the practice match especially. It's alert but not alarmed, and a lot of Blues fans out there are slightly in that bracket after what they've seen against Geelong and then Melbourne in the preseason.
Yes, slight concerns from what I've seen. Always take preseason with a grain of salt, but they've only kicked 10 and 8 goals in those two
and
games.
Given up
Zach
plenty.
Williams is going to play, which is great news. That's a great story after what he's been through, both with injury and personal issues. Tough start, Brisbane at the Gabba. I don't think anyone's going to beat Brisbane at the Gabba this year, but then they have a good opportunity, even if they do miss a few of their stars. They've got Richmond, North Melbourne, Fremantle, the three games to follow that. So you'd like to think they get a bit of momentum early.
Even without those players we just mentioned in any form, I agree with you. They have to win those three and hopefully for their sake,
get them back and then
show up on the first game.
Yep. Well, we'll preview that game against Brisbane and the other three for opening round later on in Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. But up next, it's Fair Dinkum or Fugazi.
Joey Montagna.
Give it a bit louder.
Daisy Thomas.
Take his best from here.
And Damien Barrett.
We're here to talk football.
Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
That's right. The Midweek Rub is back for season 2024. We'll preview a massive opening round soon. But right now, it's time for this.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's...
Fugazi, Fugazi, it's a wazzy, it's a woozy, it's a...
Joey, you mentioned this briefly just in the previous segment, but Brisbane will go undefeated at the Gabba again in 2024.
Well, they went undefeated last year, didn't they? Hard to see why they would lose a game at home this year. I'm pretty bullish on Brisbane, so it's fair dinkum. I think they could win. They could win 17-18 games for the home and away season, and I don't think anyone would bat an eyelid, so I find it very hard to see them getting beaten at the Gabba.
Damo, Port Adelaide have the most on the line in 2024 after re-signing Ken Hinckley. And if they falter in the finals.
Just trying to analyse that and line it up against other people and clubs with a lot on the line. But I'm going to go, that's a fair dinkum. Yeah, it was a play that they decided to allow unfold in front of them in 2023. It then made the decision to go with him and the finals were bad. There are reasons and excuses and validations for it. But ultimately, if he's got a bad scoreline by halfway through, Rabsy, of this season... I think a decision can be made around about that time if it's not tracking the right way for him.
On top of that, Days, Adelaide will improve more than Port Adelaide in 2024.
Well, improve, yes. I can see that happening pretty confidently because Port Adelaide obviously a couple of rungs above them anyway. But that forward line that Adelaide possesses is going to cause some serious headlines. And as a commentator, as someone who's going to get to watch them live a bit, I'm really looking forward. Rochelle, Rankin, Fogarty down there, they've got some... a little bit of riz through that forward 50.
Will Rankin have some midfield minutes, Joe?
Yeah, I think he'll play a lot more centre bounce forward. Yep.
Okay. Righto. I'll stick with you, Joey. Yeah. Clarko will get North Melbourne out of the bottom four for the first time since 2019.
At this stage, that's still Fugazi. I think what we'll see with North Melbourne this year will be a bit like Hawthorne last year. I think they'll surprise some teams and win a couple of games, and we'll see it and go, gee, it's there. But they'll still have a lot of games where they'll get scored against and won't be able to hold up. So I don't think they'll do enough to get out of the bottom four, but definite improvement.
Daisy, Brody Grundy will be an All-Australian ruckman this year.
Oh, jeez. I'm going to go with fair dinkum. You know what? I'm going to put him on the line. Yeah. Well, if he can dominate Max Gawn in round one, and he looked like he was back to his very best, he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's fit. He can certainly be an All-Australian ruckman.
I'm going to ask both of you, Damo and Joey, Geelong will be back in a big way in 2024.
Yeah, fair dinkum. I think every year when I'm asked to do the predictions, which we all hate doing but have to, I put them in the top four. I've got them in the top two this year. I've got a Brisbane Geelong grand final, and I'm comfortable with that despite most people outside of you, Joey.
Oh, I'm on the same page as Damo. Yeah. I wanted to put them in my top four. I ended up putting them fifth because I chickened out, but I think we'll be discussing them in premiership calculations at some point this year. I think last year was just an anomaly for a whole host of reasons. I think you'll see the best of the Cats of more of 2022 than 2023 this
year. Drop the pin in this, Ollie Henry.
Yep, I was about to throw his name in. I was down there a couple of weeks ago before they started playing the matches against other clubs, and I just had a bit of an insight. They let me in and had a look, and I really like what I saw. I reckon they're all fit, importantly, and why not? I mean, you talk about the fortress that the Gabba is. Well, GMHBA Stadium, is that for the Cats? And I've given them, if they're not going to win every game down there, they'll win most, and they're halfway home to a finals berth then.
And it's finished. The stadium's finished.
It is finished.
They've gone standing room because they couldn't afford the extra seats.
Damo, with Sam Draper's injury history, Todd Goldstein could be the bargain pickup of the year.
Yeah, he turns 36 throughout the course of 2024. I love the fact he's got a second gig. He was phased out at North Melbourne, but kept his head really high professionally and helped Tristan Cherry and others at North while he was going through this phase himself. His old coach wanted him at his second club, and I think that's a fair dinkum statement there, Rabsy.
Joey, the midweek rub are fractured after no invites to Daisy Thomas's wedding.
No, that's Fugazi. We are tight as ever. We understand how popular Daisy is, yes, and we understand that he couldn't fit everybody in, so we're tight. And we'll
speak for yourself, Joey.
And fair enough, too.
Daisy, I don't know if you read Damo's sliding doors segment.
Is that? Do you write that for the AFL on the app?
Don't bite, Damo.
I'm not being facetious here. I've read that a lot of time.
Only for about 12 years, does
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, they're good.
Then I can't
that's
ask
the compliment.
You because you haven't read it.
So I haven't read it. I just didn't know
mention,
that he was the...
No, you're not going to mention.
I'm a journalist, Dave.
Joey.
Don't mention.
Damo was toying with the Hawks fan base after picking them for the wooden spoon on AFL.com.
I thought you were going to go with Bevo. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of mentions in there. Yes, Damo is really winding up those Hawks fans. He's going to stick fatties. And I'm on the same page as Damo with the Hawks. I think they're still a fair way off it, and he's just winding them up early.
All right, I apologise for that, but I read that. And I didn't know that you I swear to you.
So it's a compliment.
Hand on heart. No, I thought it was great. I just didn't know. Genuinely hand on heart.
Oh, no. I'm going to play Fraction. I apologise.
People,
this is on me.
People wait for that to be dropped on Friday morning. For 12 years,
mate. I just didn't know who was going to correct
it. It's got his name on the top of it.
What, sliding doors?
You went through a few years of not really knowing what was going on, didn't you?
No, yeah. Excuse me.
All right. Daisy, I'm going to play a little bit of audio because you have worked closely with this man both in a jungle and in a radio box.
Oh!
No.
What's this red thing over there?
Oh, hang on. Bill.
What is it?
Bill, don't touch it.
No. It's the emergency siren.
So why would they put it in front of me, a big red button?
I don't know.
Why would they do that, Raz?
If you hit that, the siren will sound across Icon Park.
I bet you it won't.
It will. You might. We're not taking that bit.
No, it won't, sure.
It actually works. What's a red button? What's a siren doing up in here?
We've got a bloody siren.
We've got a siren. Stop it. What? Again? Won't stop.
Daisy, you've also played there. Icon Park Management cannot make the emergency siren a big red novelty-sized button and stick it in our commentary box and expect Bill Brownless not to push it.
Yeah, that's fair, Dinkum. And for someone, and hopefully this doesn't get used against me, my brain works a little bit like Bill's. Big red button, don't press. What are you going to do? You're going to press it. Door that says don't go in, I'm going in. So it's their own fault.
I was about to say he's an idiot, but point in case.
Finally, Damo, because you have worked in the media space for decades now.
Just tell Daisy.
With a great, great article.
Sliding doors is great. The West Australian owes Harley Reid a percentage of sales after featuring on over 22 back pages.
Nah, that's Fugazi, Ramsey. They're only warming up. It's only been, I think it's up to 30 now. They're not getting serious until it's hit the three figures. So, no. Jeez. I can understand what they're doing. There's not much else to talk about over there from a West Coast perspective.
Is the pressure on him? Like, too much pressure, you think?
Yeah, probably.
I think there's a contextual element to it from outside WA, isn't there, about what's going to happen? But inside the confines of that state, maybe not.
Mm. Well, there's four massive games kicking off tomorrow night. We're going to preview them next on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Sometimes you go looking for stuff and sometimes it just comes across your desk.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Season 2024 kicks off tomorrow night with opening round in Sydney. Let's preview the big four games, starting with that game, Sydney versus Melbourne. Joey, the ruck battle is going to be huge.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, we saw Max Gawn and he still looks like he's at the peak of his powers. Brady Grundy, we've touched on. This would be a great start, but I'm still really bullish on Melbourne going into this season, 2024. I can't see any reason why they would drop away again. You know, even in the last 3 years, they've been outside the top four for a total of 2 weeks. Like, this is a very, very consistent, a very good football club. Yes, they've had their issues in front of the big sticks in finals. I'm not counting you using that against them. So I still think they're a top four team. Sydney are a harder one for me to get a read on. And I'm not sure where to put them. This would be a great test for the Swans, but I'm going to stick with Melbourne first up.
I want to stay with the Swans, but I'm with you on what you've just said about Melbourne. I say the Swans, and I know they've also got their banged up issues too, with Callum Mills out indefinitely, Luke Parker going down as well, and then Taylor Adams, who they brought in to assist in that space, him not being available. But I've got the Swans spiking this year, and I just feel the build up to this game, and there is pressure, whether we like it or not, and whether we want to acknowledge it or not,
for the Swans to put on a show in this first game, given the AFL has chosen to take the game to not just their state, but to their stadium on this night. So I'm weighing all that up. And even though I like Melbourne on the big picture, I like the Swans in this particular game.
I'm really intrigued as to see how Melbourne go from here on out. That game against the Blues in the preseason, very good after what was just a horrible offseason. The two big stories that carried them throughout, the club was under all sorts of scrutiny. They looked like they were so relieved for that final siren to go, not just the first siren, but again, preseason v in-season is completely different. If they start well and you can see that this has solidified them, it goes one of two ways, these off-season debacles. You either start poorly and then everyone goes internal and it starts to fracture, or it solidifies the group and it's onwards and upwards. And I think it's the latter for them, and I think they'll be going to start the season really strong, but I have them contending again.
What did you make of the Oliver inclusion so quickly, Joey? I say that because they took him out of operations just before Christmas. He wasn't allowed back until very late January. And it was a conditional allowance back to the senior group. And then Angus Brayshaw retires unexpectedly. Was it part of it all?
No, I'm believing, and I've spoken to someone at the club, I'm believing that he, in the last 6 to 8 weeks, that they feel there has been a little bit of a penny drop moment. That the buy-in into what the club stand for, he understands where he sits now at the footy club. They are not going to tolerate that, and they will be happy to move him to the side if he doesn't buy in. I'm looking at it like this, like we could see a better version of Clayton Oliver as a teammate and as a player.
How much better can he get?
That's exactly my point. But think about what we're hearing about what his last couple of years have been like off the field. Mm. Imagine if he actually does grow from this, which we have seen with a lot of other players. I mean, we talk about
names Jordan DeGoey.
Jordan DeGoey, Toby Green, Dusty Martin. Like they early in their careers had all this sort of stuff about them as well, and we've seen what they have all become and leaders of their football club. So I'm seeing the positive in this, and I think that they are as connected as ever off the back of what they've been through as a football club, and I'm pretty bullish.
I just hope that his body doesn't fail him. I hope it's not a rush back and then a hammy or a calf that then puts you out for a month, and then these issues off field become more and readily available.
The Lions were a kick away last year, days from being crowned premiers. Ooh. They opened their season at their home ground where they don't lose against one of your former clubs, Carlton.
I'm going to go up and watch this as a punter. As just sit in the outer and have a couple of suds and watch this game. Geez, they're good, Brisbane. And they, you talk about the window and the opportunity. They were this far away from winning it. Again, how much that drives you to be better again. We expect them to probably improve with some of the kids now that aren't no longer kids getting into the right bracket to play some seriously good football, and likely for the Blues, expectation on them again. This should be a cracker, but I think the Brisbane Lions will be winning comfortably.
I'm with you, Daze. I love what they've done. And the last five seasons under Chris Fagan, they've been one kick away from five consecutive prelim finals. So you add that up to the loss by 4 points only in a grand final. And the fact that they are convinced, I mean, some clubs try and, I think, cover up some issues, but they are convinced they came back with the right attitude, having experienced that 4-point loss in the grand final last year, and they've done everything right. And they're seasoned people. I mean, Chris Fagan, Greg Swan, they know, Danny Daly, they know what it's like and what's required to be successful, particularly after a harrowing loss, as the grand final loss was. So, yeah, they're on the right track. In this game, I just can't see Carlton getting near them. And I like Carlton's chances in 2024, but not this game.
A lot of talk about Melbourne and their season going one of two ways. You could say something similar for Brisbane. How many times can you keep going to the well, keep getting disappointed and keep buttering up? But I agree completely with Daisy and Damo. From what I've heard, they've come back with a real intent and a real attitude to go one step better. I think they're the team that most clubs will be chasing this year, and I think they're morals to beat Carlton.
Damo, the last few months for the Gold Coast Suns have been incredible. They signed Damien Hardwick, and Ben King's now re-signed as well. They come up against the Tigers, the team that Dimmer cooked the sausages 1,000 different ways.
Yep.
How do you see that game panning out?
I see, because of the no Nankervis, the likelihood that Martin won't be there, I just see Gold Coast under Dimmer first up. I don't expect them to make finals, as we touched a few moments ago on this particular show. They haven't made finals in the 14 seasons they've been in there. In fact, they've never finished in a single-digit ladder position, and the most games they've won is 10. So I don't see them spiking. But in this game, Rabsy, I do see them winning first up.
I honestly don't know.
With two new coaches, new teams, we don't really have a read on it. I agree. I think Gold Coast would be really disappointed if they don't win this game, because no Nankervis, no Tom Lynch, probably no Dusty as this stage. So it's there for Gold Coast, but I think it's one of those, if it was a horse race, Damo, it's one of those sit and have a look and just watch the race and see what we take out of it.
So Dusty has a corked calf. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Yeah.
So we don't know, as of Wednesday, if he's going
to
play.
Short back up to Thursday next week as well.
The final game of opening round is the Giants and their opponent from the prelim final, where they lost by 1 point. The premiers in the Collingwood Football Club. The Giants, Joey, go into this one as favourites.
Yeah, they do. At home, obviously lost the prelim by 1 point. Everyone expecting the Giants to continue to improve. Second year under Adam Kingsley, I'm certainly in that basket. This is going to be a cracking game. Like, you know, there's going to be plenty on this side. I can't wait. Lean towards Giants slightly because it's at home, but we've learnt with Collingwood, you're not going to write them off, and they could come out and win this by 3 points, and everyone would say that's just what they do. So, yep. Fascinating, can't wait.
I've got nothing to add to what you said. I would have said the exact same thing. Giants is as the tip, but how could you be surprised if Collingwood did what they have been doing now for 2 years?
To finish off opening round or round zero or whatever you want to call it, this is going to be bums on seats. This is going to be an absolute cracker. I cannot wait. I'm going to tip against the Pies purely because I think the Giants early will just be a bit more stung from that loss in the prelim. But, hopefully they...
Expecting any fireworks?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And there's been the bye bye through the Mason Cox stuff. I think they've got a petting zoo out there this week. Like, they're PMing it up. They're happy to go back and forth. It's a sellout. Mm. The second time ever at Giants Stadium.
Very good.
Four incredible games for opening round. You can catch them all on Triple M, starting with the season opener tomorrow night between Sydney and Melbourne, and the all-new Thursday Rub pre-game show with Jack Heverin, Kate McCarthy, Isaac Smith, and Jay Clark from 6 p.m. This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy, and Damo.